on CBS Sports Radio.
All right, so let's get into hour number three. Welcome back. It is a three-hour program. My name is Jim Rome. We are coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Whether you want to buy a home or refinance your current home, Rocket can. It is a three-hour program. As I look back on my life and my career, this used to be a five-hour show, nightly. Boy, that was a time. 5 hours every night, solo host. Then it was 4 hours. Then it was 3 hours. I'm like, man, I am smart. I got this thing. I'll get them down to two. I'll get them down to one. I'll get them down to one segment. I'll get them down to a Rome minute. And then I stalled out of 3 hours. And now I know, man. Now, not only did I stall out of 3 hours, I'm just waiting for them to come to me and say, hey, by the way, yo, now it's a four-hour show. And we're paying you for three. Oh, and we're going to add the Scrub Saturday show, too. You got that back. So I'm happy to stall out of three. Because I know that three can be four. It's kind of like if I go to them and say, hey, listen, I've been thinking about this.
Not three.
You know what?
Four.
Two sounds better than three. The suits are going to say, you know, that's funny, Rome. We were thinking about it, too. Four sounds better than three. I'm good. Wait till I hit them with, hey, by the way. Okay, four sounds good. Four sounds great. 4 days a week. They're like, yeah, we thought about that, too. Six. I'm like, wow, this negotiation's going pretty badly. I think I'll stay where I am, 3 and 5. 1-800-636-8686. Ken in SA writes, Jim, did you say, quote, lick racing? Count me in, brah. Signed, Steve Belichick. He knew that was coming. No, I'm just talking about that really weird cookie commercial that those two used to engage in lick racing. Awkward. This guy's got a good idea. A great Blue Dini 4 writes, Tomlin already gave you one horse name. You can go ahead and add never say never, but never to the short list of future names. All right, so I've mentioned this before. Naming horses is not easy. There's like, I don't want to say there's a science to it, but there's like a strategy to it. You know, you can name a horse after the sire, which is the stallion. As an example, remember our great mare, Ms. Direction. I did not name that horse. When we bought into that horse, she was already a runner. She was already a racehorse with an existing name. The owners of the horse originally named the horse Ms. Direction, like misdirection in football, but Ms. with a Z because the sire was mizzen-mast. So I got it in my head that if we ever had a really good horse, I wanted to name it Straight Fire off of Mike Tomlin saying, I promise you only Straight Fire. He didn't make up that phrase, obviously, but it's a great phrase. But you don't want to have a horse that's not a good horse named Straight Fire. The horse can't run. So we waited, we waited, we waited. We bought a colt and we knew the colt was fire. We knew he was awesome. So we named him Straight Fire. And he was a badass horse. Unfortunately, he got hurt and had a short career. But when he ran, he was awesome. He lived up to his name. So this guy's saying, well, there you got another one now. Never say never, but never. That's actually a really good horse name. Never say never, but never. Unless you would turn that on its head and be like, never say never, but never as a horse that can win. I don't know. It's different. Or maybe going forward, I just wait for Tomlin to say anything about anything, and I name all my horses based on what Tomlin says. He just doesn't give me much to work with. You got to come at this guy with something like, hey, Mike, speculation is that you might be open to going to USC. And then something like that comes out. But he only says things like that like every 10 years. Fortunately for me, we don't buy or breed nearly as many horses as we used to. So I don't need that many horse names. However, we do have a colt that does not have a name right now. So if you clones want to name the colt, you go right ahead. And you have to do better than Bisp or SJP or all the other idiotic things you come up with. We have a colt. A colt is a boy. We need to name the horse, and no time soon. I have probably 2 years before I have to come up with a name for that horse. James Rome III. Why would Tomlin go to USC when he could go to Cambridge, Oxford, or Middlebury? Signed, Beauregard and Pacific Palisades. That's the real Beauregard. That's funny, Beauregard. But didn't you go to Cal State Fullerton? Where did you go, Beauregard? I need you to produce a diploma, an actual diploma with your actual name on it, before I give you the respect that you seem to think you deserve. Because, bro, I got a feeling you went to Santa Monica City College and stalled out there. Come on, Beauregard. Beauregard in Pacific Palisades is really Burt in Hammett. Come on, dude. Are you playing a character, or are you really who you say you are? Are you really in the Palisades? Do you really have a big backyard with a tennis court and a pool? Is your name really Beauregard? If not, keep Oxford out your mouth. Hey, Rome. At this point, Jimmy G has a more promising future as a male model than the quarterback for the 49ers. Have you seen this guy's jawline? Drew in West LA. You know, Drew, although Jimmy G led them to the Super Bowl, this might be the first time or the first thing you've said in a long, long time that I would agree with. He's fine this week. He's the guy this week. I'm going to get into that in a minute. Let's get some phone calls in here. I've got Michael Lombardi coming up at 11:40. I mentioned also, today's a little bit unusual. After the program, I'm going to Las Vegas. And then I'm coming back. And then I will be here tomorrow. Living the life, man. It feels good. Doing some work. Let's go to Utah. And again, the telephone number is toll-free, 1-800-636-8686. John in Utah. I appreciate you being patient. John, good to have you on. How are you?
Good. Thanks for taking my call. I wanted to talk about Andy Reid and the Chiefs. 2 years ago when they won the Super Bowl, he really could concentrate 100% on his football team, but his son and his serious problems, I wonder if that isn't a big distraction after the games. Just thought I'd bring that up.
All right, John, let me respond to that. John in Utah is saying...
Hey, John.
Thanks, Albie. The Chiefs obviously are not what we expected them to be. So what he's saying is, you know, I wonder if his son is a distraction. That when they went to the Super Bowl, he did not deal with that, and maybe he's dealing with that right now. I haven't spoken to the coach in a while. I don't know really how he's processing that. I don't know what he's thinking. I would imagine it's a very difficult thing for he and his family, obviously. In terms of distractions, I don't know how much of a distraction that might be. But I can say this, even with authority, and I have not spoken to Andy Reid about this, I'll bet you anything he's distracted by his defense. I'll bet you anything he's distracted by his offensive line and all the changes on the line and the fact that that is not gelled. I would imagine he's distracted by not their inability to, but the refusal to run the football. I bet he's distracted by Patrick Mahomes continuing to try to do everything he can on every single play because he knows that defense can't get off the field. I would imagine he's distracted by the fact that he's at the bottom of the AFC West looking up at the Raiders and Chargers. I bet those things distract him. As far as his son, maybe. It's a pretty serious thing. As far as the Chiefs go, Chiefs fan, I think you know your team pretty well. I'm not saying you should jump up and down on the panic button just yet, but if I were you, I'd know where the hell that thing is. Because these are some real issues. I'm not saying they can't be fixed, but I'm saying these are legitimate issues. All those things I mentioned, the defense, their inability to stop anybody at all. The fact that some of their big-time guys are not playing big-time ball on that side of the ball. The fact that they've had so many changes up front and that offensive line is not playing that well. And the Patrick Mahomes thing, like, it's sacrilegious to ever criticize Patrick Mahomes. But the fact of the matter is, I think the guy is trying to do too much. Honestly, he's playing hero ball because he feels like he has to play hero ball because he knows the defense is going to put him in a bad spot. I don't think the guy needs to win games all by himself, and I think that trying to do so is hurting them. I think these are the things that Andy Reid probably is thinking about and focused on and distracted by. You tell me, Chiefs fan, what do you think? 1-800-636-8686. Let's go to New Jersey. Victor is in Wayne, New Jersey. Victor, good to have you. What's up?
How are you, buddy? I'm just curious about anyone criticizing Douglas.
Yeah.
Jets GM. He surrounded a rookie quarterback and gave this team and our long-suffering fans a backup quarterback that never even took a snap in the NFL, whom probably 99% of the Jets fans didn't even know who Mike White was. But I think it's time Douglas has to start taking some criticism for not surrounding Wilson with players, or even giving Saleh players. It's time for him to kind of, I mean, we loaded up on draft picks in the future, but what did you do for now? We know we're rebuilding, but this looks horribly like the way they ruined Sam Darnold. I'll take your comments.
Yeah, and I appreciate it, Victor. Babe, believe me, man, my goal in life, I mean this sincerely, when I was coming up and I was in Santa Barbara, I've said this before and I'll say it again. The one thing I wanted more than anything in this business, my dream, was to be a talk show host on WFAN. And now I am. That was awesome. It's so good. And dude, I hear you. Douglas, listen, this is a guy, a really well-respected young football guy, young executive with good pedigree. And for a long time, he kind of had that honeymoon grace period, that carte blanche where, hey, look, this guy, leave him alone. He knows what he's doing. And now we've seen a track record. Now we've seen a body of work. Now we've seen some draft picks. Now we've seen some decisions. It's not working. So you're right. Some of this does fall at him. Absolutely, some of this is going to stop on his desk. You can't pass the buck, and you can't make excuses for him anymore. You may not have known, he said, even us longtime suffering Jets fans had no idea who Mike White was. Now you do. Hey, but you know what? Help's on the way. Help is on the way in the form of Joe freaking Flacco.
Hey!
Never mind that maybe you could have got that guy in the offseason. Not having to give up something to get him right now. Never mind that it had to be terrifying to see Zach Wilson flat on his back, where most quarterbacks end up. You know, the thing about Sam Darnold, the whole thing about we wrecked Sam Darnold, and it was just a matter of him getting away from Gase. Come to find out, Sam Darnold did get away and doesn't look so good all of a sudden. But you're right, things are bad with the Jets. I mentioned them yesterday. When they're doing things that even the Jets haven't done in 40 years, you know it's bad. Really bad. They're out there, and they're not even competing. And they're getting the hell beat out of them. So I think you're right. There's plenty of blame to go around, and Douglas is not blameless at this point. And more of this is going to stick to him, for sure. So we've talked Chiefs ball. We've talked about the Jets. We even talked about Jimmy G. Drew in West LA saying, I think this guy's got more of a future as a male model than he does as the starting quarterback with the 49ers, Rome. Have you seen his jawline? Yeah, he's a handsome guy, man. But he's a handsome guy that led them to a Super Bowl. And even if you want to argue that, nah, he didn't actually lead them to the Super Bowl. He was the quarterback when they were in the Super Bowl. I'm going to say to you, he made some big plays. He made some big throws. He won some big games. He, in fact, did have them in the Super Bowl. So he's more than just a guy with a jawline. But I'm going to say he's on a short leash. And I'm going to say it's pretty clear Kyle Shanahan is not thrilled with him. But Trey Lance is not ready yet, either physically or ready to play, or he put him out there right now. when we come back. Another open segment, and then Michael Lombardi joins us. And we're taking telephone calls, 1-800-636-8686. Over a century ago, Trico was the first company to make wiper blades, and they have been a step ahead of Mother Nature ever since, protecting drivers in the harshest weather. From torrential downpours to gale force winds to wintry blasts, in every climate all across the country, Trico engineers constantly study your specific driving conditions to make sure that you will be ready for anything, even if it were to actually rain cats and dogs. Whoever came up with that, props. Either way, if that were to ever happen, and yesterday in SoCal it did rain, man, and people were driving around like it was raining cats and dogs, if it were to happen, Trico's got your back. They'll be able to help you so you can see past every single soggy Siamese and drenched Doberman. For safe, clear driving visibility in any condition, no matter what your driving habits are or what vehicle you drive, you will always find the right Trico wiper blade for you. Trico, the future of wipers since 1917. To find a store near you and see their latest offers, visit TricoCatsAndDogs.com. TricoCatsAndDogs.com.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Once again, over a century ago, Trico was the first to make wiper blades, and they have been a step ahead of Mother Nature ever since. Trico, the future of wipers since 1917. Visit TricoCatsAndDogs.com. You know who's salty? Sarah. In fact, salty does not begin to do it justice, man. You do not want to get on the wrong side of Sarah. Even saltier Sarah, actually, the official handle is at saltier2021. She tweets, you should meet up with at Cal in Vegas while you're there. You can use him as a doorstop in your hotel room. Sarah, do you really want to pick a fight with him? Do you not have your hands full fighting with Bella all day long on Twitter? And also, Sarah, officially, I'm not getting a hotel room. I'm not staying the night. I'm just going there and coming right back. So I do not need a doorstop because I do not have a hotel room. So I don't need to find Cal in Vegas for that or any other reason. It's a quick turn.
Now free to move about the country.
All right, so I mentioned that we have a colt. And I've tried in the past to get you clones to name the horse so we could all be involved. Then you'd be invested. You'd have some equity. If not financially, at least emotionally. But you'd always come up with such stupid names, it would never work. One, you can't get it by me. Two, you can't get it by Dodger Jano, who is my partner in Jungle Racing. She needs to approve it. Three, we have to get approval of the jockey registry. And a lot of your names would never work. As an example, here are some of the latest proposed names. Carlin Prescott, Rome. Bohica. For those who do not know, Alvy, hold up. Bohica is a short or another way of saying this.
Boston is now the city of champions. Get used to it. Deal with it. Okay? And until you step up and bring home some hardware, you earn the right to talk the smack. Not just because you're from Cleveland. Okay? Bohica, buddy. That stands for bend over.
We don't play that anymore in its entirety. But I think you know what the rest of that sounds like. And if not, you could find out. See, here's the thing. It's kind of like a vanity plate. You know how when you pitch the DMV or the state a vanity plate and they vet it and they know where you're going with it? Every once in a while, maybe you sneak one through. Maybe I could sneak Bohica through, but I'm guessing that the folks who make that decision would know what that means. They would never allow it. And nor would I ever do it. How many times have we gone over that? All right, so Squirrel 2. The other thing that always comes up is Sarah Jessica Parker. Name your horse SJP, or some sort of reference, because many of you seem to think that she looks like a horse. It's super sophomoric, super juvenile. I would never do it. But if I were to do it, this guy has got a way around it. Quote, name your horse Miranda's friend.
It doesn't make any sense.
Probably couldn't get that by Jano, but we probably could get that by the registry. They wouldn't care about that unless it's taken already. You also can't name a horse what somebody's already named a horse. So if there's another Miranda's friend, you can't do it. But that would work. If you wanted the SJP reference, that would work. Bella B is in. Okay, now this is great. She recommends 818
for life.
That would be a great horse name. That's smart. See, that's clever. That works. And see, and this is all about the show. I'm trying to come up with something that is show related, jungle related. 818 for life would be great.
818 for life.
Quite Californian's got a good idea. 30 pieces of silver.
30 pieces of silver.
There you go. A tribute to the great Trapper. R.I.P. My man. Trapper, brother, I miss you. Truly. That's good. Here's one. Probably would not pass. Crown his ass.
Then crown their ass.
Crown their ass. I don't think I could get that pushed through.
Then crown their ass.
This one, they probably would not approve, and I certainly would not submit. Roy Munson recommends, quote, giddy up, horse face.
Hey, John, time to meet Mr. Rome. Giddy up, horse face.
Come on, girl. Yeah, giddy up, horse face is not going to be the name of our colt. The way my breeding operation is now, we only get one a year. I'm not going to waste one a year on giddy up, horse face. It literally takes like 4 years almost to breed a horse and get the horse to the races if you're lucky enough for it to happen. I'm not going to wait 4 years and pay on a horse. It's so expensive too. Part of me wants to tell you how much it costs to own a racehorse, but I won't because we don't talk about what things cost. You would not believe how much it costs to own a racehorse because you have to pay every month to board, feed, have vet bills. You know, like, do you know what your vet bills are for your dog or your cat? And you're pulling your hair out over that. You can't even imagine what they are for a thoroughbred. So, no, I'm not going to put all that time and money and emotion into an animal which I love and then name it Giddy Up Horse Face.
Giddy Up Horse Face? Come on, girl.
Deca Yeah is what Matt in Arkansas recommends. That's not bad. The Deca Yeah. It's not great. Michael Gaylor says, how about Original Side Hustle? That's good. Okay, I'm shocked. These are actually good. They're never good. These are good. Total Big E's got a really good one. Tan Smack. I don't want to name a horse after myself because that's just weird. But if I were, Tan Smack would be it, probably. I don't think they'd allow Pimp in the Box. Mike in Temecula says, Jim, clearly the name should be Zorro Doloro. That's a really good one, too. Name one after Alvy. Zorro Doloro would be a great horse name. A great horse name. Man, almost makes me want to get another horse just to name it. Anybody else? Oh, this is a good one. Lanier Messenger. Jet Jaguar's in. Lanier Messenger's good. because that's where I got my start. Not theoretically, but that was the worst 29 days of my life, selling the Linear Messenger. Why would I want to go back to that? Anybody else? It's not too late. See, good news is, like I said, you've got 2 years. Officially, his brother's Pedro. That's a good horse name. All of these things you can get through me, but I would never get through Janet because she would never understand. She doesn't know the show the way she used to. Can you imagine me trying to explain to Janet his brother's Pedro? All right, babe, listen. Here's why. No, we're not doing that. No. Here's why we're going to name that colt his brother's Pedro. Yeah,
his brother's Pedro.
All right, you don't like that? Here's one. This person's recommending the Great Equalizer.
Diarrhea is
all right,
the great
Janet,
equalizer.
We have to name the colt. The colt's going to race. We need to get a name on paper. I want to name the horse, quote, the Great Equalizer.
Diarrhea is the great.
And she's going to say to me, why? What's that mean? I'm like, oh, the Great Equalizer, diarrhea. Remember? Oh, so you want to name your horse after diarrhea. Yeah, that's not going to work. I got it, Alvy. So no, we can't name the horse after diarrhea. Alvin. Alvin's like, it's part of the cut. It's built in. No, it's not, dude. JJ Sportsmo says, Rome, quote, eat it, HUD. It's not bad.
Eat it, HUD.
This is like the best y'all have ever done. Normally, it's just Bisp, Bohica. Steve Spiegel coming in with the tried and true, quote, slump buster. Yeah, that's not appropriate. No longer appropriate. I mean, it's pretty good because there are actual slump busting techniques that guys use today that are appropriate, that are just kind of weird and baseball oriented, that are not inappropriate, if you follow me. Either way, it's not worth it. I'm not doing it. Last chance. Anybody else? 1-800-636-8686. This guy says, I got it, Rome. Quote, run his ass down. It's actually pretty good, right? I mean, they're horses. You're trying to win. Run his ass down. Alvin. I guess we're not doing that one. If Alvin can't play the soundbite, we can't do it. Anyway.
Run his ass down.
Thank you.
Run his ass down. Run his ass down.
If the horse is a colt, and he's going to be trying, unless he runs up front, unless his running style is to run from the front, run his ass down might work.
Run his ass down.
All right. Thank you very much. Well done. Some things to think about. Some of these actually might work. Bellaby's 818 for life might be the best.
818 for life.
Dadonis. Dadonis is good. He's a Dadonis.
He looks like a Dadonis.
Dadonis is good. Or better yet, he looks like a Dadonis.
He looks like a Dadonis.
Man, if I had a ton of horses, like say we had 10 or 15, some of these would work. I would definitely, and not even tell Jano, I would just name one. He looks like a Dadonis.
He looks like a Dadonis.
That'd be so great. When we come back, Michael Lombardi joins me. One last segment. And then I will go to Vegas for about an hour. And then I will come back. And then tomorrow, hopefully, you all do better. Although you did well right there. I'll give you that. You did do well there. Before I get to Michael Lombardi, I have a sports update for you, and here it is. Welcome back. One last segment. Live in Southern California, I'm Jim Rome. Appreciate you all. Good to have you here. As promised, we are joined right now by a three-time Super Bowl winner. He is an author. He is host of the GM Shuffle podcast. He is co-creator of The Daily Coach. He's got a lot going on. He is Michael Lombardi. Michael, it's so good to have you back. How are you?
I'm doing great, Jim. Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
Appreciate you, Michael. Always good to talk to you. Let me start with the Kansas City Chiefs, Michael. They're 3-4. They have lost their last four games against the AFC, and they just got hammered by the Titans. Everybody knew KC's defense needed work, but let me ask you this. How bad are they defensively across the board right now?
Well, you know, actually, I thought they got better when you watched them play against Tennessee. They held the, they did a good job in the running game. They didn't, you know, Henry didn't go and run for 200 yards. Their secondary played very poorly and their total team. But, you know, really, I think the bigger letdown in the game, Jim, was their offensive line and their inability to keep Mahomes fresh, keep him from getting hit. And the way teams are playing them now, you know, they kind of really have done a good job of eliminating the big play to Tyreek Hill. He only averages under 13 yards a catch. And they basically have challenged the Chiefs, you run the ball or keep checking the ball down. We're not going to give you the big play. And it frustrates the Chiefs. It really does. And compounding the problem is when their defense can't play from in front, their defense shows all the liabilities. So as much as we can blame the defense, and certainly they have a lot to blame their offensive line, this rebuilt offensive line has probably been the biggest disappointment.
We're talking to Michael Lombardi. So, Michael, would that explain why their leading rusher only had six carries? Or is there another reason for that? Like, how can they justify not even trying to run the ball?
Well, you know, we know Andy Reid, and he's as great a coach as Andy is. You know, the running game, he don't like calling runs. I mean, let's be real honest. I mean, it's hard for him to call runs, and you know, he gets to the games, and you've got Mahomes, and you've got Kelsey, and you've got all the, you know, the great Tyreek Hill. The reality of it is, you know, it's the way teams are playing them, the way teams are really pressuring them to run, he's going to have to start to do that, and he's got to change the style. The other thing I think, too, Jim, they only are in one formation all the time. They're in one tight end, one back, and three receivers. And because they're always in that formation, they don't get any changes. I mean, look last night, Sean Payton's running guys off and on, catching on. I mean, when you can practice – for as long as teams have been practicing against the Chiefs, against 11 personnel, there's only so much you can do. I mean, remember, in football, there are only two formations. There are only two formations, 3-by-1 or 2-by-2. That's it. Now, who you put in those places become different, but the Chiefs don't put anybody different in those places, which allows the defense to get a handle on.
Michael Lombardi joining us. So, Michael, what do you think? I mean, will they change who they are and what they do? Will they get this sorted out over the course of the season? Or, frankly, are they just not a playoff team this year?
Well, I mean, they have Mahomes, and they've got Andy Reid, who's really a good offensive coach, and I think he will figure it out. And, you know, he's got to solve the turnover problem. You know, he's got to solve the carelessness with the football, whether it's his running backs or his quarterback, you know. And we can't wait to go on television and talk about the no-look passes, but perhaps they need to be no more no-look passes. Let's just take what the defense gives us and keep moving the ball. I do think they can turn it around. The concerns defensively are not going to go away, but if they can play from in front, you know, the last two games they've played, they haven't given up a point in the second half. Now, one game was over with, and the other game was a hard game to play. But I do think they can, but it's going to start more on their offense and controlling the pace of the game. And their defense was on the field for 36 minutes against Tennessee.
Michael Lombardi is joining us. He is a three-time Super Bowl winner. He is the host of the GM Shuffle podcast, co-creator of the Daily Coach as well. All right, Michael, so what about the Bengals? Them going into Baltimore and doing to the Ravens what they did that tell you more about Cincinnati or about Baltimore?
I mean, Baltimore, the first rule in defensive football is don't give up big plays. I mean, think about this, Jim. The Bengals were only in the red zone once, and they were 0-for-1 in the red zone. All their scoring, 41 touchdowns, came from outside the red zone. You know, and so when you give up big plays, when you don't tackle Chase on a slant, you know, they weren't trying to go for a big play, you know, and he takes it to the house for 82 yards. So, you know, I think ultimately the lesson in this game is really, it's the same lesson the Ravens learn every January, is until they change their offense, until they get Lamar under center, until they try to get away from some of these RPO and just live with the RPOs, they're going to have games where the defense takes them away. And when they can't play from in front, I mean, the Baltimore's the greatest play from in front team in the league. They were number one last year in that category. But when they can't play from behind front and they have to start throwing the ball in a drop back pass game, they don't have a drop back pass game. That's just fact. They don't have one. And until they change what they do offensively, get them under center, run bootlegs, run Baker Mayfield's offense with Lamar Jackson. He can run it effectively. but they keep being stubborn in this RPO game, and people know how to play them. I think that's going to be the biggest lesson to learn from the Bengals game. And let's be honest, the Bengals defense played really well, and they're for real.
Hmm. Michael Lombardi is joining us. Now, Michael, I've made no secret of this, man. I love Arizona. I love the Cards. I really want your thoughts on this, though. You just said the Bengals defense is for real. Do you buy into that Cardinal defense? Do you think the Cardinal defense is for real?
You know, I really do. I think Vance Joseph has done an incredible job with it. He's changed up a lot of things. I mean, you know, they're third in the league in creating turnovers. You know, their defense is second. I mean, when you break it down, they have fourth in the league in sacks per pass play. I mean, they've done a really good job of getting after the quarterback. The speed of their defense has been outstanding. Their speed of the defense has been really good. And then when you get the ball in the red zone, they're the fifth best red zone team in football. So, you know, this is a team that, you know, we keep wanting to say they're, you know, they're not playing as well, but they, you know, they toyed around with Houston. They didn't play the first quarter and they won by however many points they won by. Yeah, I think they're really good. And Murray, his ability to make those plays that no one else seems to be able to make. If you don't rush him the right way, if your defensive line gets out of its pass rushing lanes, you're in trouble.
No doubt. The off-platform plays. This guy, he is amazing to me to watch. Michael Lombardi is joining us. You are the host of the GM Shuffle podcast, so I've got to ask you, Michael, do you expect a Deshaun Watson trade to happen before the deadline? And if so, what do you expect Houston to get in return?
I think, you know, based on the way the league is, based on the quarterback draft class next year, it doesn't look very good, Jim. I mean, everybody's talking about Spencer Rattler being a Heisman Trophy candidate. He's not even starting anymore. I'm not sure the draft is great with quarterbacks. I think the price of Watson, assuming he can get out of all his trouble, continues to go up because it's so hard to find one. And there's more teams involved. I mean, we know Carolina's struggling right now with Sam Darnold. We have, you know, Tua had two good games, but Tua's two good games against the Jacksonville defense and against the Atlanta defense. Those are not great defenses. Denver, you know, Denver has a good team, albeit all their injuries, and they've got too many injuries to be a good team right now. But they don't have a quarterback that can get them into the next level or compensate for the lack of depth in their defense. So I think it's going to be a king's ransom. I think it's going to go very expensively.
Michael Lombardi is joining us for a few more moments. Michael, you mentioned Tua. I'm curious. I hear what you're saying about the draft. I hear what you're saying about who might be coming out. If you're a GM, would you rather have Tua, having seen him in the league for a season and a half, or would you rather have an early first-round pick and take your chances on a college prospect?
That's a great question, Jim. I think it depends on, you know, you can't really make that, and you can't make that assessment because draft picks are people, right? This is the biggest mistake. Jerry West told me once, he said, you know, draft picks are fool's gold. Everybody thinks they're great. I mean, look at the Khalil Mack trade. You know, if you take the draft pick the Raiders got for Khalil Mack and measure it up to Khalil Mack, it doesn't work, you know? And so you've got to be able to put names to the picks. And not have it be a basically an exploration. And so for me sitting here right now, that's hard to do. I think here's my concern about Tua. He doesn't do anything elite, doesn't have elite speed, doesn't have elite size, doesn't have an elite arm. He's never going to be a top 15 quarterback in the league. I don't care that he threw for 400 yards against the Atlanta Falcons. He's going to have to make plays in the pocket in a game in tough conditions. I don't see it. So I would be inclined to entertain it, but I would need to know who the name I'm getting back for it is.
Michael Lombardi is joining us. Now, Michael, I mentioned off the top that you are the co-creator of The Daily Coach. You and I have talked about your approach and your thoughts on leadership in the past. You were recently talking about Ben Simmons. I'm really curious. What do you think when you see the situation that he's in with that team, the Sixers, and their situation with him?
Well, I think a lot of it starts with their lack of holding him accountable from the time he was a rookie. You know, there's no accountability. And now he's behaving with no accountability, and everybody's wondering why. Well, he's been groomed on no accountability. No one's ever really held him accountable. And so now he's behaving as like a spoiled brat. You know, and one of the things that I think it shows is his lack of mental toughness. We see it on the basketball court, and now we're seeing it off the court. I mean, look, let's just put things in perspective here, Jim. Allen Iverson was traded by Larry Brown to the Detroit Pistons. And if it wasn't for Matt Geiger exercising his right and the option to veto the trade, Iverson would have been a Piston. But Iverson didn't sulk. Iverson didn't say a word. He came back determined, won MVP the next season. There's the difference. One guy is a great competitor. One guy you can't deter from trying to win the game. The other guy's looking for excuses. never holding himself accountable, never sharing in the responsibility, all those things. And yet he gets rewarded with a $170 million contract. How else do you expect him to behave? The guy's never hired a shooting coach. He hired his brother. I mean, seriously, this is what we want. If I were the GM of the Sixers before I gave him that contract, I would have demanded a few things.
Michael Lombardi is joining us. Wow. I'm glad that I asked you the question about the NBA, and we got into that as well. And we've talked leadership before, you and I, and we will do so again. Michael, really quickly before I go, or before I let you go, speaking of the quarterbacks, what about the noise about Jimmy Garoppolo and Trey Lance? How much of the 49ers' struggles right now are about Jimmy G? How much of that is on him specifically?
It's the biggest joke. It's the Twitter phenomenon, Jim. I mean, it's unbelievable. There's this narrative out there that once we put Trey Lance in, everything's going to solve all our problems. Let me just give you some facts, because facts never appear on Twitter. Facts never appear in NFL conversation. Going into last week's games, the 49ers with Kyle Shanahan are 26-11 with Jimmy Garoppolo. When they don't have Jimmy Garoppolo, they're 7-22. Jimmy Garoppolo had a 10-point lead in the fourth quarter of the Super Bowl. Was it Jimmy's Garoppolo's fault they didn't cover a 3rd-and-18, that Tyreek Hill made a great play? Was it Jimmy Garoppolo's fault that on 3rd-and-10 in the red zone they gave up a pass interference play? I don't think so. I think Garoppolo's not an elite quarterback. I'm not saying that. But he's better than any quarterback they have on their roster. That's very clear. Lance may be a good player, but it ain't going to happen this year. And they're going to win games, it's going to be with Garoppolo.
He is an author. He is a 3-time Super Bowl winner. He is host of the GM Shuffle podcast. He is co-creator of The Daily Coach, and he just closed the show for us. Michael Lombardi, my guest. Michael, always great to have you on the show, man. Thank you so much for that.
Thanks so much, Jim.
You have a great day, Michael. Great talking to you. And that will not be the last time we do that, right? Michael Lombardi, if you need him. When you call a Dell Technologies advisor, they are focused on you, ready to give you advice on everything from Windows laptops to the cloud to keep your small business ready for what's next. Call an advisor today, 877-ASK-DELL. A start to a simpler experience with Windows 11 Pro. Great interview day, right? Michael Lombardi to close the show. Jordan Poyer was tremendous. Bill Safety. Desmond Ridder, also very, very good. That's Cincinnati right. Quarterback. That's right. My thanks to the XR4TI. Clones are still coming with the horse names. Well done. Have a tremendous day. So what I want to do right now, I got to get up out of here. I'm going to Vegas for a couple hours. Then I'm coming back, and I'll be right back in here tomorrow. Thank you for listening. Have a great night. See you then. We're out.